Hi everyone, welcome back to Foreign and Film. Today I'm bringing you my review of Scream 6 to celebrate its release on 4K, UHD, Blu-ray, DVD and digital download on the 10th of July. So we're a little bit out from that right now. Currently recording this on Sunday the 23rd. It's going to get released on Monday the 24th, but better late than never, I suppose. So I caught Scream in the cinema earlier this year and I was thrilled to sort of receive this courtesy of Paramount UK, so thank you very much to those. And I went through the disc, I had a look at the film again, and I went through some of the special features like I tend to do on these physical release reviews. So just to give you the blurb on the back, so the four survivors from the most recent Woodsboro Ghostface killings have moved to New York City for a new start. Just as they begin to feel a sense of normalcy, they receive that infamous call. Ghostface is more brutal and relentless than ever, and nothing will stop them hunting them down. Critics are saying Scream 6 is fresh and truly terrifying, and Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega are a force to be reckoned with. Now, when I saw it for the first time, and when I've sort of caught up with it since this weekend, I like it. I like Scream 6. I'm a fan of the franchise. The first one, I think, probably being peak Scream, being all the way up there. Second one, I quite like. Third one drops down a little bit. Fourth was trying to do that sort of 10 years later, there's a new sort of culture that's happening. We're going to try and capture the zeitgeist and mention and be meta towards that as well, bringing in a lot of new characters, some of which get referenced here. The 2022 Scream film I really enjoyed with a new cast. And then this one for me, and this is going to sound really, really strange, but as soon as I saw the sort of artwork and the promotional material around them bringing Scream to New York City and taking it more into an urban setting or a much more urban setting, that intrigued me instantly because I quite like films doing that. I always think back to The Lost World Jurassic Park when, you know, you get a T-Rex going down in San Diego. There's something about that I really like, taking that sort of the thing that's been established, in this case, Ghostface, the killings, all that kind of stuff, from the smaller locale into a bigger city. There's something about that I really like. So the film stars, as already mentioned, Melissa Barrera, Jenna Ortega. So I know Melissa Barrera from In the Heights. I know Jenna Ortega from Wednesday, as I'm assuming a lot of us do. Jasmine Savoy Brown, Mason Gooding, bringing together the core four, as they refer to themselves in the film. Hayden Panettiere coming back from Scream 4, reprising her role as Kirby. And Courtney Cox once again appearing as Gail Weathers. Now, straight away, a couple of things missing. Neve Campbell isn't back for this one for whatever reason. Down to his fate from the last one, David Arquette isn't back in this one. And they kind of leave it there in terms of legacy characters. And what they sort of keep referring back to in this one, again, going down the meta route, is this idea of a legacy sequel. In that if you're bringing all these characters back, if you're bringing these characters back from the sort of new incarnation or the new reinterpretation of it, but then at the same time, you're throwing back to legacy characters, that they are wide open in terms of being killed. Now, it is meta, as we expect from the Scream franchise, but for this one particular, it is much more nastier in tone and it has a much nastier bite than the predecessor. So, an 18 certificate, all the BBFC thing says on here is strong bloody violence, and there is a lot of that from the outset. I was thinking back to the 2022 Scream, which I think was an 18 as well, although forgive me if I'm wrong on that. But Scream 4 was definitely a 15. And I think at that point, if you know that you're sort of in a franchise of horror films that maybe rely on its kills and maybe rely on its gore a little bit, that if you're bringing the rating down, it's watering down the content of what it is that you're expecting to see. This ups it to another level. This was really brutal, especially the first kill in the film. Now, I don't mean to sort of go into spoiler territory here if you've not seen it, but Scream has been out in the ether for a while now. So the opening sequence stars Samara Weaving, who you might know best from Ready or Not. And I was really excited to see Samara Weaving in this because I really like Ready or Not. And she does have a small part. She's essentially the first victim that gets killed in New York City right at the start of the film. Her death is brutal in the sort of alleyway. And it does that very good thing of flipping it on its head a little bit, your expectations on their head a little bit, in that, you know, she gets killed and they do the sort of final slash. And then, were you expect to see the title card you then don't get that, and you get a killer unmasking himself. And even that aspect flips on its head again. So there are a lot of different things that the writers, the Radio Silence, are trying to do here with these films, and they're trying to sort of take our expectations, turn them on their head a little bit, which I do quite like. It's very clever. A lot of my favorite imagery of the franchise is in this film. So things like seeing Ghostface through the frosted glass door, Ghostface with a shotgun, just all the different set pieces that come together. And I'm going to just mention some of these as we go through. So the film in general, I really like it. I know that some people were quite sniffy around it. I really like it. I thought it was quite good. Obviously, you know, you have to suspend your belief a little bit towards the end with a twist and all that kind of stuff. And there's only so many times that you can go down the route of trying to do a different twist. This was different enough. It wasn't something that I'd really fallen too much into thinking about it as I was watching the film, but you know, it works as it is. I'm assuming we're going to get another one down the line, because to be fair, that core four of Barrera, Ortega, Savoy, Brown and Gooding, I quite like. I'd like to see more of them. So I would happily welcome another one after this one. So the disc itself. Now, I mentioned this on the John Wick review, that with the John Wick review, your 4K now gets a Blu-ray as well. This one is just the 4K. There's just the 4K disc in here. There's no Blu-ray disc. So what they've now done is they've put all the features on the same set, which is, you know, absolutely fine. It has a director's commentary on it. And the sort of general stuff after this point is all the sort of B-roll, behind-the-scenes featurette type things. So you get Death Comes to the City, which is that Scream 2022 paid homage to the originals, but the directors wanted to be bigger and develop and move on to a big city. My favorite aspect of the film. You get Faces of Death, which is the new characters from the mold of the old characters. So again, the core four, but then also the ones who are now surrounding them. More meta than meta, basically going through Scream, doing what Scream does best, referencing all these things, all the film references that begin to happen. It's quite interesting when they go to, obviously referencing more contemporary cinema now that these characters can do that. And then you get a series about four or five set piece driven featurettes at this point. So you get Bloodbath at a Bodega. Now, I'll be honest, but this is the first time I've come across the term bodega. I assumed it was a car, and then I got it mixed up with the last film. This is the part where in a small convenience store, Ghostface goes crazy with a shotgun. And again, it was sort of showing you how they managed to put that sequence together, what the sort of creative decisions were around that sequence. You get an apartment to die for. So a lot of this stuff takes place in the core four apartment, which again is quite intriguing. Night Train of Terror, probably the biggest and best set piece in the film is the subway set piece. I think even the filmmakers must feel that way, because it filled up a lot of the promotional material that was released about the film. And then finally, Theatre of Blood. So this really sort of complex and elaborate staging and set piece for the final act or final 30 minutes of the film, if you will. My views on Scream 6 haven't changed since I saw it the first time. Still think it's a very good film. I really enjoyed it. It was great to see it in 4K. It looks stunning, as a lot of the sort of cinematography around the city does, which is my type of cinematography, really. That those sort of like huge drone shots, or back in the day, crane shots of large cityscapes and stuff like that. And for me, it's a really effective horror film, a new type of horror film. And I would very much like to see more of it. So thank you once again to Paramount for sending this out to me. I enjoyed going through the features. So Scream 6 is available to download and keep now on DVD, Blu-ray, 4K, Ultra HD. Has been since the 10th of July, so I'm sure you can pick it up wherever you get your physical releases from. And if you are more of a digital downloader, which I am sometimes, you can find it in all the good places that you usually would do. So thank you very much for that. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming your way this week, especially. So I was looking at the sort of review schedule that we've got going. Scream 6 today. I've got a review of The Flash coming tomorrow. I'm going to see the Screen Unseen at Odeon, which I'm assuming is Talk to Me. So there will be a review of that. If I get out to see Barbie, Ruby will definitely have a review of Barbie for you. I may also have a review of Barbie for you, but that depends on where we are with that one. Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. I'll get to that one as well. A Blu-ray review for that one. And tonight I'm watching Dungeons and Dragons, so I'm going to get to a Blu-ray review of that as well. Busy, busy, busy. And then more content coming your way with tier lists and top tens and all that kind of stuff. So it's all good stuff. It's all happening. So thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can go over to our sponsor, Offworld Tees, and use the code FARAND, that's FARRAND, for 15% off your order. Go over to the Redbubble page. All the director filmography t-shirts are there. The Oppenheimer and the Barbie t-shirts are still there as well. Quite a few sales in the past few days, so thank you very much for that if you're one of those. And stay safe, look after each other, and I'll see you next time.